and Answers begins right now.
In many schools today, children are taught that they are neither boy nor a girl. They are taught that their gender is fluid. It's not biological, but that they can choose their gender later in life as they get older. Many cartoon characters and superheroes are now portrayed as transgender or gay. The culture seeks to influence our children in this new gender ideology. So how do we equip our students to discern truth from error and engage these ideas with truth and grace? At the 2024 Evidence and Answers Conference, Amy Davison of Mama Bear Apologetics explained how to help our students understand the differences and how to engage the LGBTQ ideology when they encounter it each day. You're tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. The last time we were together, Amy Davison began a message regarding talking to your kids about LGBTQ issues. If you've missed any part of this message, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you will find this message entitled, Talking to Your Kids About LGBTQ Issues, and find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or just listen online. Now let's join right into part two of message four, taken from our 2024 Apologetics Conference.
There was another instance where a college was doing a survey on sexual orientation of elementary school students. And a girl had been picked out to go ahead and take this survey. And she was really weirded out by all these questions regarding who she was attracted to, because I think she was only in fourth or fifth grade. And so what she did is she very subtly folded up the piece of paper that had the survey on it, tucked it in her pocket, left the room, and showed her mom afterwards and said, Mom, this is what we did in school today. This is what I was asked to do. Mom did not get called by the school to be told what was going on. She only found out about it because her daughter was clever enough to hide the survey and show mom afterward. This is going on in culture. It's not happening everywhere, but it is going on, and it's something to be aware of. Also, like I showed you, depression and anxiety can be a cause for gender dysphoria. And this is because, and this makes sense with women, right? So guys, how do guys manifest aggression? When they're frustrated or angry, what do guys normally do? They punch something, right? Guys are physical. You don't usually see a girl punching a hole through a wall. You will often can see a guy do it. So guys are external with their focus of aggression and frustration. They'll punch something, punch each other, and then they're best friends afterward. It's weird. But that's how guys deal with it. Girls, what do girls do when we're frustrated? We internalize. We create scenarios in our head that keeps us up till 3 a.m. having internal arguments with people that don't exist. Teen girls especially internalize, but what they do is they keep it silent from their parents. I was reading articles about the depression that was happening with teen girls during COVID, and the interviewer was actually asking these girls, well, did you talk to your mom about it? Oh, no, I didn't say a thing to my mom. My mom would freak out. And that breaks her heart. But remember when we were teenagers, did we talk about all the struggles we went through with our moms? I see a lot of head shaking. Yeah, no, we did not say anything. But what's different from when we were teens to when our kids are teens? We didn't have this. We didn't have Reddit and Quora, where we can hop on there and vent and share our frustrations and be groomed by thousands of strangers into a false ideology. And that's actually what happened. So during COVID, there was a spike of gender dysphoria and questioning of one's identity. And why was that? Because teenagers were suddenly cut off from their social communion. So they turned toward online communities to find it. And online communities are often very deeply toxic, very deeply biased. And what they found was a cult-like strategy to reach kids. It starts out first by affirmation bombing. Oh my gosh, you're so brave. I love that you shared this. You're absolutely incredible. You are loved. Just stay here. We adore you. So they affirmation bomb. And then what they do is they now turn and isolate the child. They say, you know, you can't tell your parents about this. Are your parents Christians? Don't tell them. Don't tell your youth leader. Don't tell anybody at church in this, because you know why? Christians are hateful. They're going to harm you. They're going to tell you you're wrong. That's going to lead to you suiciding yourself. So do not go and tell them at all. Instead, you can only be a part of this community. So they affirmation bomb. They isolate. They get them in the community. And then once they're in the community, they have a no questions policy. You can now no longer question the ideology. If you disagree with it at any point in time, they will threaten to kick you out. They will mock you. They will degrade you. They will actually bomb on the individual, get them shut out from social media accounts. They will then isolate them to this one community and then hold that against them if they try to leave. And then they will help encourage the child. Here's what you say to the doctor to get the hormones. Here's the clinic you go to that no longer checks for age. In fact, in Oregon, you can be 15 and go to Planned Parenthood, and after about a 30-minute interview, get on hormones. Parents won't be notified. They will tell the kids where to go for treatment. And some kids have even been coached, hey, you should leave your family. I'm going to come and pick you up. Here's where you meet me. And all of a sudden, your kid's gone. That's what social media is done. And that's what kids have been thrust into because of COVID, which is why it's so important for us to keep checking in with our kids and making sure that they understand healthy relationships and activities online. We should never be emotionally dependent on some online stranger. Instead, we should be dependent on the guidance and wisdom of Christians, our parents, and Christ. So what is gender-affirming care? So this will also be a question that your kids will probably have, what this means. And it's important to describe this because they're not going to be given an accurate picture. So when I was a girl in the 90s, if you were a 90s girl, one of the biggest things you wanted was an American Girl doll. Like that is, I know, I hear people laughing. That's how you flexed with your friends. Oh my gosh, I had Molly and my sister had Kirsten and you had all the books and the accessories. It was amazing. And they also had books on development. You learned how to, American Girl taught me how to babysit. American Girl taught me first aid. And now American Girl will teach your daughter how to transition. So they just recently came out with a body book. It was about a year ago. I wrote a blog post on it where they came out with a body book. And part of the book, they're talking about your body is precious. It's the only one you got. You have to take care of it. Especially when dealing with eating disorders, they were encouraging girls, you got to take care of it. Only in the next page, oh, if you don't feel like you're a girl, that's okay. All you do is talk to your doctor and they're going to give you some medicine and then your body will align. That was the very basic overview that they gave on gender affirming care. And that's often what doctors will say anyways. Okay, well, we'll just get you on this medicine. It may have a few side effects, but that's okay. We've got other medicine to combat any negative side effects. And, you know, if you decide later that you no longer identify as a boy, then you can just get off the testosterone. It'll be okay. Everything will go back to normal. But it doesn't. In fact, Chloe Cole, she's been one of the largest proponents against gender-affirming care for kids. She identified as a male. She had a double mastectomy. Her surgery scars have never healed. Testosterone irreversibly affected her body. She's got bone density issues. She is infertile. She is unable to conceive. She's no longer able to breastfeed any children she would want to if she could conceive. And she has a higher risk of depression, anxiety, as well as cancer because testosterone and estrogen, artificial hormones, are a carcinogen. So estrogen, that's what's given to men who want to transition. It's a carcinogen. They have an increased risk of cancer because of this, just at its very basic level. They also have bone density issues. In fact, that's where ladies, one birth control that's offered is Depo-Provera, but you're not supposed to be on it longer than 2 years because the artificial hormones within Depo-Provera causes bone density issues. It'll weaken your bones. That's one of the issues. So for women getting on testosterone, especially girls, what will happen is their voice will drop. And that can never go back. So they will always sound like a boy going through puberty for the rest of their lives. That will never change. They will also have shrunken sex hormones as well as their body parts will not fully develop. And that also does not come back as well. But this is often not told to kids. They're just said, no, it's okay. We'll just get you on these pills. It'll be all right. And how gender affirming care starts, it's very innocuous. So it starts first and foremost, just by maybe changing your child's name. So let your child pick a name that they like. It could be more on the non-binary spectrum, like Andy can be both boy or girl. They'll pick a name and they will say, well, go ahead and start socially transitioning your child, meaning allow your child to wear clothing that aligns to the stereotype that they are drawn to. And then after they've been socially transitioned for a little while, what you want to do is put your kids on hormone blockers. This stops them from developing and going into puberty. And this is said to give your kids more time to become comfortable with who they are. But the fact is it's puberty that actually helps them be comfortable with who they are. So putting them on a blocker doesn't help. And in fact, in almost 100% of cases, if a child is put on a hormone blocker, they're then given artificial hormones. It's almost 100% of the time. And if they were just kept off of those, by the time the kids are 18 to 20, most of them are comfortable with their gender. But that's not what they're told. That's not what doctors will share. Now, I mentioned earlier during the Q&A, I said, what are the biggest challenges facing the church? And one of them that's huge, especially among our youth, is this call to activism. And I mean, in fact, they did a study, I think it was a Time article that came out that said, Gen Z is looking for a revolution. They just don't know where it is. They want to fight, but they don't know what for. And so activism really appeals to Gen Z because they want to make a difference. And think about it. Think of all the movies that have come out within the last 10 years. I mean, we've got Hunger Games, we've got Maze Runner. What do all of those type of movies have in common? It's an all-knowing teen having to fight a revolution against older, specifically men, but also women are thrown in too. So it's the youth at war with the older generation. But what are we commanded in Scripture? We are to seek out those wiser than us. The elderly is a blessing because they have a lifetime of experience and they're supposed to be cherished. But now we hyper-idolize the youth, an emotional youth at that. And now it's the youth that determine what is true. And so what's going on with these kids is now they are wanting to fight a revolution and they're coached into it as well by social media, by Hollywood stars, by singers and everything. You have to be an ally. And so many kids are asking, well, wait a second, can't I be a Christian and be an ally for my LGBTQ friend? And the answer is, okay, what are we being an ally for? What are we aligning with? And that's why, remember how last night we talked about that sex is not an act between bodies, it's an expression of a worldview. Same with LGBTQ ideology. Now, it's very similar to sex positivity, but I want to point out a huge difference. So reality, remember how I said last night it was in desire in the mind? That's where gender identities form. But one of the biggest differences between LGBTQ plus worldview is found under the human being category. So it is also argued that they're evolutionary byproducts. But one of the biggest things that's being promoted today, I'm calling the Neo Imago Dei. Neo meaning new, new Imago Dei. So I'm going to give you their argument, see what you think. So the answer is, you are made in the image of God. Therefore, anything you do with your body is good, holy, and wonderful. And whoever you do it with, all of that is holy and wonderful. Go ahead. What do you think? Logical, valid argument. Completely unsound. Because not everything we do with our body is good and holy. And not everything we do with another individual is good and holy. That's why we have those guidelines. But in affirming churches, this is exactly what they're being told. They're not denying the Imago Dei, they're repackaging it into a progressive culture so that it suits the desires of the individual. Why? Because when we reject God's truth, we're given over to the desires of ourselves and we raise up idols in created things and of our own image. We fall into all sorts of destruction and then we encourage others to do likewise. It's Romans 1, 18 through 32, right there. And it's being preached from multiple pulpits, pulpits like these. So this was a church, I want to say it's in Texas, but Methodist church. So in Texas, there was a huge split within the Methodist church. They were having to face whether or not they were going to affirm the truth of Scripture or affirm LGBTQ individual and ideology. And as the one pastor said, she said, well, I had to choose whether or not I affirm doctrine or people. So I chose people. The problem is when you compromise Scripture to affirm people, you lose both. They don't realize it. Instead, they no longer offer them a savior. They offer them a charlatan and they don't offer them salvation. They offer them a false worldview and it doesn't save them, but it's being taught in churches. Here in Michigan, they had a Bible Pride, which is where they put Scripture through queer theory filter. Queer theory means that anything that doesn't affirm LGBTQ ideology gets tossed off the docket when it comes to Scripture. So that ultimately filters Scripture and then you just take whatever is left and that's now your new gospel. It's making its way in the church. Another question your kids are going to have is regarding gay marriage. And this is understandable, right? Because kids are very literal. So when they hear gay marriage and marriage, they think the things are the same. And a lot of kids, I had one that was about five or so. They said, well, this doesn't make sense, but mommy, you're married and that's marriage. So isn't that the same thing? And that's how clever culture is. If we can warp the words, then we can change the thoughts and eventually alter the knowledge of a generation. It only takes about one or two to have it completely wiped out. So how we do this is we explain to our kids that there is a difference between biblical marriage and civic or civil marriage. So biblical marriage is rooted in God's design. It is one man, one woman, united forever because it's only one man, one woman, united that accurately reflects the relationship of God and his church united together. Our culture originally had and aligned with the biblical definition of marriage up until about 2016. And then Obergefell came, and now all of a sudden marriage was redefined between two consenting adults. And the number two is actually up for debate now. So Utah has already reduced their prosecution for multiple marriage, polygamous marriage, to where it's basically like a traffic fine if you're found with more wives. And so we're already seeing compromises there, and we're seeing even compromises in some laws like states like California to where even age of consent is being removed. So civic marriage is defined by the government and it is ever shifting based on culture. So that's the difference. Biblical marriage reflects God's design. Civic or civil marriage reflects the commands of culture. So is culture the same thing as Scripture? Absolutely not. It can align with it, but it cannot be truth. So that's what we tell our kids. We say, baby, this may be legal, but that doesn't mean it's moral. That doesn't mean it's biblically true. So yes, our culture right now affirms this is marriage, but is this truly God's design for marriage? No, no, it's not. And that's how you explain it to your kids. Now, if you've got a family member that perhaps has a same-sex spouse or a same-sex boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever that may be, I wrote a blog post to help you flesh out how to navigate that situation when you end up hanging out for Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever. And it's, if you go on the Mama Bear page, it's When Adam and Steve Come to Dinner is the title of it. But basically what you want to do is explain to your kids ahead of time the situation that they're walking into. Baby, we're going over to Grandma's house and Uncle Adam is going to be there. Now, Uncle Adam is married, but he has chosen to marry another man. His name is Steve. Now we know what God's design is, but this is the lifestyle that they have chosen. Give them some talking points. Maybe, okay, what does Adam like to do for hobbies? That sort of thing. But then remind your kids, baby, it is not your role as a child to be the accountability for your unbelieving uncle. That's your daddy and my job. We're going to be spiritually accountable with him. That's not something that you need to worry about, because kids, especially believing kids, I love them. They're very zealous, but they can often very much lack tact. And so you want to tell your babies, sweetheart, I appreciate you being on fire. My little John the Baptist, love it. But in this situation, I need you to trust that mommy and daddy are going to be spiritually accountable to Adam. That's not for you to worry about. And then go be a light, speak truth, and give your kids an accurate example of how you're supposed to interact with unbelievers, because that's what they desperately need to see. That's what teens need to know on how to interact with unbelievers, which we'll get to shortly. So what do kids need to know? Basically, everything I just covered, I will get you the slides. But most importantly, I want to give you a few mantras to start using with your kids. So kids are really great at catchphrases. So my son in third grade, he got to do a Valentine's exercise. It was like a cute little Valentine's arts and crafts. And what the teacher did is had a heart that said, love is, and the kid had three opportunities to fill it out. So my son goes, love is patient. Love is mom cooking. Love is what makes a Subaru a Subaru. I kept it. I framed it. I thought it was the best answer ever. Catchphrases work with kids. So when it comes to understanding the ideology at hand, we can use catchphrases with our kids to help reinforce biblical truths, such as boys and girls are made in the image of God. Your body matters. What we do with it matters. We are called to be stewards of a precious temple. It doesn't matter that the temple doesn't look like some other temple on the Instagram. Very often that temple is an idol. Don't compare. Manhood and womanhood have range. And you only need to look at the gospel to see this range. We have Jacob and Esau. Jacob was the raw man, super hairy, loved to hunt, probably smelled terrible. Then you had Jacob, who was soft-spoken and quiet and would rather cook with the women in the tents than go hunting with his brother Esau. Jacob was no less a man. Then you had Joseph. Joseph took care of a baby that wasn't even his. Old Testament Joseph fled from sexual temptation. He hauled butt out of the room in just his rear. But today, our culture would say, wait a second, why didn't you hit that? That's not what our kids need to know. Same with womanhood. Biblical womanhood has range. Yes, we have the Marys who are wonderful and amazing within the home, but we also have Deborahs who were wise. Deborah was a judge over Israel that gave wisdom to her community and stood at the edge of the battlefield cheering on Barak as he was in battle. You have Jael. Jael was incredible. Stay-at-home wife, Christian woman. When Sisera came to hide out in her tent, she tricked him into falling asleep and then tented his head to the ground with a tent spike. Proof you don't mess with godly housewives. Don't stab anyone, please. Not for Jesus. There is range within biblical womanhood and biblical manhood. And so our kids need to know this. They need to know this because why stereotypes describe some, they do not define all. They describe some. I was a rough and tumble girl. I love the mud. I love being climbing up in trees. When I went to basic training, I was one of the few females within my flight that thought it was a great time. I would go and do it again. I honestly would. No less a woman. There are guys who are soft-spoken, who work macrame. In fact, there was a commander that I was stationed with who, when he was deployed, he would knit Afghans. And the Air Force Times actually ran an article. Oh my gosh, here was this military leader, tough guy, and he knits. Yeah. Turns out guys can operate knitting needles. Shocking. And stereotypes do not determine your worth. As I just explained, biblical manhood and womanhood are something that needs to be taught to our kids. And most importantly, they need to know how to love like Jesus. Like I explained last night, when Jesus was interacting with the woman at the well and Zacchaeus in the tree, he already knew their sin. He did not reduce their identity to their sin. He recognized them as someone who desperately needed salvation. And he curtailed his approach to meet their emotional needs while not redefining truth. That's how we approach culture. I recognize and cherish you as a human being, but I love you too much to lie to you. And if God opens a door for me to speak truth in my life, in your life, you can bet your biscuits, I'm going to preach it, but I'm going to do it with grace, but I'm also going to do it with truth. That's what our kids need to know. They need to know how to tactically navigate culture. Because when they do that, then they're going to stand firm against the barrage that comes on social media, that's going to be pushback on their college campuses, and they're going to raise up, we're going to raise up the next generation that's so on fire for God, we're hardly going to be able to touch them. It's incredible. So to do that, I want to offer a few resources. Now, if you were here yesterday, these are the ones I offer for kids. I've got different ones for the adults. These ones are fantastic. Marty Makowski is especially helpful for explaining the range within masculinity and femininity of girls and boys. It's absolutely wonderful. He also wrote the book Theology that I showed on raising warriors. So both books are absolutely phenomenal. Highly recommend them. But for your older ones, because this is really going to start hitting, your kids are really going to have questions in the middle school to high school range, because that's where then they're going to encounter it. But don't discount the younger ages. So my son, my youngest, he was totally enraptured with this little girl down the street. And for about 3 years, he kept telling me, oh, I'm going to marry Alyssa. So we're going to need a house and you need to move out, but you can come visit once we move in. Thanks, bud. Well, about a year ago, he came up and he goes, well, Mom, I can't marry Alyssa anymore. And I'm like, well, you know, I wasn't too worried about that, but okay. And I said, well, baby, why can't you marry Alyssa? And he goes, well, Alyssa said she's a lesbian. She was 9. And what it turned out is her family had broken apart. Her mother went to live with another woman, and Alyssa is trying to bond with Mom now in her new life state. So now Alyssa has adopted this identity. So when my kid being little, we had to have this conversation. So be willing and open to have this conversation, and these books will help you do it. So these are three Christian sources that will help you. I love Julie Slattery. So Nancy Pierce, I've been waving her book around. Definitely get this one. Rethinking Sexuality is like an easier, accessible approach to Love Thy Body. It's not as philosophically or scientifically deep as Love Thy Body, but this one's really accessible. So if you've got a teenager in the house, Rethinking Sexuality is a fantastic book to read with them. And of course, if you've got someone who's struggling with their sexual orientation, Christopher Yuan's book would probably be a huge blessing, along with Gay Girl, Good God, because Christopher Yuan was a practicing homosexual, and he ended up coming to faith after a prison pastor told him, no, it's okay to be gay and be a Christian. And even him being an unbeliever said, wait a second, that doesn't track. And he started doing research and he ended up coming to faith in God. He submits his sexuality every day to the cross and speaks about God's design for sex and marriage. Three wonderful resources. Now, these next three are from secular sources. However, their information is fantastic. They will give naturalistic origins or explanations for why they believe the way they do. That's fine. They're trying to root it in naturalism. Their arguments don't actually track in that sense. They can't root it in naturalism. Their evidence can only be affirmed through the gospel. But I just want you to be aware of that. So three of them, Dr. Leonard Sachs, his book is absolutely fantastic on the differences between male and female, which, by the way, there is no biological anchoring for LGBTQ identity. There's no gay gene. That's not in there. And you'll see that in Why Gender Matters, as well as The End of Gender by Dr. Deborah So. She is a sexologist, I believe a neurobiologist as well. Absolutely loved her book. And this book created quite a stir a few years ago, Irreversible Damage. Very eye-opening on how transgenderism specifically targets girls. So if you've got a girl in your household, what happens with rapid onset gender dysphoria, what they found is it's called cluster cases. One friend will suddenly identify as transgender, and what they found is all the other friends progressively started identifying as transgender, and it spreads outward. Kind of like how one friend, I'm gonna date myself, started liking NSYNC, and then all the other friends started liking NSYNC. Same thing with gender dysphoria. They're finding that happen with girls, and she exposes this in her book, Irreversible Damage. Now, but like last night, what I want you to do is, again, fire hose to the face of information, stats. I will get you the slides. Your role is to just have one conversation. Because here's the thing, God will meet us with information, sometimes to meet us exactly where we're at, but oftentimes he will give us information to prepare us for the battlefield that we're about to walk into. And if you have kids, especially young ones, middle school, high school, they're going to walk into a battle. They're already in it. So my challenge to you is to just pick one thing. Pick a subject, pick a topic, print off song lyrics to their songs and look into what's being sung about and said, and then evaluate it worldview style with your kid. And then when that's over, What are you going to do? Just have one more. That's my encouragement. That's all you got to do. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I pray blessings over you as you go to these amazing breakouts.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586, or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukerman.